You're listening to SpursCast, episode 582. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the SpursCast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs founder, Michael DeLeon. In this episode, Mike and I will discuss some takeaways from the Spurs' three scrimmage games as they begin their seeding games on Friday. Let's get this episode started. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Basketball's back. Officially back, well, I guess when this release is today, but we've been able to see these three scrimmage games, so it's been nice. It's kind of like fed that or scratched that itch that I had for some NBA basketball. So yeah, I'm good.
I'm with you right there too, Mike. For one, I'm glad that the testing is working out like the way that the bubble environment, should we say? Just today that you and I recorded this on a Wednesday, the NBA reported like another consecutive week of zero players testing positive that have been inside that bubble. So again, that's a good thing. That means that it looks like for now that basketball is going to happen, like you said, on the day that listeners are listening to this episode. The first games will tip off on Thursday night. So yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm also very surprised, Mike, that the product actually looks really good. The players don't look. I thought it was gonna be like almost like terrible like looking basketball. People were gonna be hit shots. They were just gonna be all out of rhythm, out of shape. And now everybody looks good. I've watched a lot of it, not just the Spurs. I've watched a bunch of different teams, and everyone looks like they just picked up right where they left off, considering it what they were scrimmage games. So I'm excited. All right, Mike, let's go ahead and get this episode started. Let's dig into our first topic, and that's just a quick little recap of what happened in the Nets game and the Pacers scrimmage with the Spurs from the last time that I recorded. I know that last week when I recorded, me and Josh Paredes, we spent a big chunk of our episode on the Bucks game because at that point there was only one game. But now we have some more data here. We have two more scrimmages that have been that have happened. So on Saturday, the Spurs did lose as well to the Brooklyn Nets, 124-118. This is a closer game. Derek White had a really good game, 22 points and 4 assists. Caris LeVert went off for the Nets with 27 points. The Spurs didn't play any of their starters in the fourth, and they continue to have that issue that me and Josh talked about, which was the high turnovers. And so they had 24 turnovers in this game. And again, they're adapting to having a brand new lineup, a starting lineup with Lonnie Walker in there, with Derek White in there, and then DeRozan at the four and Jakob Poeltl at the five. So it's an adjustment for them. But then things looked a lot better on Tuesday. This has been their best game of the scrimmage, even according to Coach Will Hardy. They got a win on Tuesday against the Indiana Pacers, 118-111. Rudy Gay went off the bench with 23 points. Then Keldon Johnson followed him as well off the bench with 21 points. They had some really, really good defense, especially in the paint. The Nets only shot 47%. And they also, the Spurs, they really controlled their offense a lot better with just 12 turnovers. So me and Josh talked about that where we were like, if this happens 20-plus turnovers all the time, well, then that's something concerning. But we know that the Spurs, before this pandemic, were the best team in ball control, and they showed that with just 12 turnovers. So, Mike, just give me your initial takeaways from these last two games.
I thought it was really cool to see, especially with the lineups that they're playing with and that they're not, just sticking with the same lineups they had when, aside from Aldridge or whatever, when the season stopped and playing with, though, I know people have been wanting to see DJ and Derek White in the backcourt together and more Lonnie Walker, and Lonnie has proven that, he's deserving a role. Derek had two really good games, and he struggled last game, but then he was still a positive in the plus minus. There's been flashes from DeJounte as well, so I like that. It's been interesting. I mean, the only really one that struggled seems to be DeMar DeRozan, but he's also seems like trying to make sure that the younger guys get theirs as well. So I like what I'm seeing. It's been fun to see the young guys go out there and get some serious minutes and see what they're capable of.
Yeah, and something that you just mentioned there, which was what I feel as well, is it's actually way more exciting, I think. We know that the odds are very, tough for them to actually make the playoffs, but even if they don't make the playoffs, this is a really going to be a fun eight games, just because, like you mentioned, Mike, the kind of different lineups we finally get to see, and just seeing what these young guys could do together, and this could be a projection of what the team's going to look like next season. So that's what's actually really fun, that even if they don't make the playoffs, because again the odds are stacked against them, it's still gonna be a fun time to watch, with the kind of lineups that they're putting out there, and these young guys get more playing time and, together, and see what they can do together. All right, so let's really dig in here on this starting lineup, because this looks like, three games in now, it looks like this is going to be the lineup to start these eight seeding games. So again, they have three really good defensive players out on the wing. They have DeJounte Murray, Lonnie Walker, Derek White, they're all finally playing together in the starting lineup. They do have DeMar DeRozan there, so if you're looking at a liability on defense, it might be him. And then, like you mentioned, Mike, the first two games he struggled to kind of find his way on the offense, considering he doesn't provide any spacing, teams kind of back off. But in the third game against Indiana, he got going. He had 17 points, I believe. And then Jakob Poeltl, of course, is a very consistent presence on both offense and defense for the Spurs at the five. So let's talk about the starting lineup here that we're expecting to start these eight seeding games. The Spurs coaching staff, you know, Mitch Johnson, Becky Hammon, and Will Hardy, in their post-game interviews, they've all said that the team does want to see what these three guys can do together when we're talking about Murray, Lonnie, and Derek White. They do want to give them extended minutes. Now, again, we'll see what Coach Pop does. I know that he's been harping on, development more so as these games go on. But, like, somebody had asked me the other day on Twitter, you know, is Lonnie going to get, like, 30-plus minutes? I was like, when Pop's in charge, you never know with Pop. You know how he might just yank a guy if he makes a turnover or, you know, misses a read on defense. So we can't guarantee. I mean, I think they'll start for sure. But, you know, as far as their minutes go, it's going to be a teaching lesson from Pop all the time. So, Mike, let's look at some progress they made. So against the Bucks, they got the starters, when we're just looking at starting units, they got outscored by 8. I mean, that's the Bucks. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference. They're a title favorite this year. But then against the Nets, they were a +1. The Spurs at starters outscored the Nets. And then against the Pacers, they were a +5. So we're starting to see that they're starting to be a little bit more positive. Now, again, it's only two games overall. Their plus minus is a -2 in these three games in terms of starting lineups. So just kind of give me your initial thoughts on this starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I like what I see, because especially with the three we talked about, because they're young guys and they have a lot of, like, flexibility, it seems like, with them, because all three of them can create or can you know, get the offense going. We saw a little bit more of that with Lonnie so far, and these scrimmages, is that he can also, you know, set up the offense and pass the ball and things like that. So we're starting to see more of that. They're definitely capable defenders, and I think when you get, like, on a some crazy fast break or something, I mean, that's when it's going to get really exciting, just because they all have speed and athleticism and you know, I just feel like seeing I wanted to see how they would gel together, I guess, and it seems like they. I mean, I know that DeJounte and Lonnie are always, it seems like they probably work out together and stuff like that. But I think it gives the Spurs a lot of flexibility. I mean, Derek seems like probably the best defender out of all of them. And he had his one game where he really played well. And he's probably, you know, of all of them, he seems like he's like the most ready to make an impact. But it was, like I said, it was just fun. And then, you've got to have that guy like Jakob back there, especially when you have traditional bigs against other teams that don't have those bigs. I mean, you can mess around with the lineup a little bit more if we've seen some crazy stuff so far. But they have the players now where they're not so stuck in one way, where they can actually do some things to take advantage of offensively, and then also to be able to match up defensively.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, one thing I noted was they have on the floor in the starting line, they have three ball handlers, guys that can kind of create, like you mentioned. Lonnie does a little bit of that, but they have in terms of the half court, like running a pick and roll, they have DeJounte Murray, they have Derek White, they have DeMar DeRozan. I think that the two players to watch here are DeMar and Murray, in terms of they're going to have, like, DeMar, you know, it's going to be tough for him because he doesn't shoot three, so we're going to have to really watch out what he does whenever he doesn't have the ball. But I did look up the data prior to the pandemic, and Murray was actually making his wide-open threes and even just his overall threes. But, again, the defense doesn't respect that shot, so he's really, when we get down to these eight seeding games, he actually needs to actually start making those shots to make the defense pay whatever they back up off of him, so that way these other guys have more room to create. I noted that Lonnie Walker's, you know, getting a lot – he's getting, like, almost consistently one corner three or two corner threes a game. That shot's going to be there for him. Again, him and Derek White are probably their two reliable three-point shooters in this group. And then Jakob Poeltl, again, just a very steady presence, can run the pick and roll for you, can get offensive boards, and then on defense, of course, provides a presence there in the paint. So again, you know, I'm just really eager to see what this looks like. You know, especially I really hope they don't change this lineup after five games. I mean, I want to see it at least five games at minimum, because that's where we're going to get better data. We're going to get, like, from the NBA, we're going to get the really good data. Right now, it's just been, you know, very, very basic box score type data, but we'll actually get, like, the advanced metrics once these games get played. And so, again, it'll be a good projection of what this team might look like next year. And you know, it was only one game, but even their defense at the rim, like I said, against Indiana, looked pretty good. So I'm really eager to see what this starting lineup can do.
Yeah, let's move. One thing real quick about DJ that I noticed, one bit of, I don't know if this is, like, just growth or what, but you know, before, especially early in his career, and he obviously he's got speed and athleticism, and so he'd race down the floor and sometimes it'd be like head full of steam and would not know what to do, and you know, he would be over penetrate or just, you know, get into offensive foul situation. It seems like now he's like attacking and he knows angles better, and he's attacking like in a smart way, like almost with patience, like he's actually seeing what's being given to him, and then he's attacking, you know, where he sees an advantage. So I like seeing that out of him in a few of these games. And so I think that's going to be important, especially with a guy like that, that he's just not relying just on speed and athleticism and bowling people over.
For sure. And, you know, that's what you just mentioned there. That's something that I've kind of noticed in these created points videos that I've been making. Sometimes it's not the guy that, you know, that's the feature player of the video. It's actually DJ who's actually creating a lot of those possessions in the half court. And that goes to what you just said, how he's being a little bit more patient and really seeing the floor a lot better in his decision making. Let's talk about the next player, Mike, he's done a really good job here in these first three scrimmage games, and that's Keldon Johnson, the rookie, you know, from this year. He was already starting to get playing time right before the pandemic, you know, and the reason why he's going to start getting playing time ahead of a lot of other players is because, again, he's defense first. You know, Pop really, really likes that. He's a very energetic player, really, you know, makes defense his priority first, and then, of course, his offense comes. But, you know, he's starting to show a lot on offense in these first three games that we've seen. So one thing I've noticed is that, like, with the second unit that he's usually part of, he's normally like the only guy who can be the playmaker out on the wing. So he's flanked usually by Bryn Forbes and Marco Bellinelli, again, two outside shooters, or he has Rudy Gay there too, playing with him, and Drew Eubanks. So again, he's kind of having to be more of that playmaker and try to, and he's really aggressive in his shot selection and in terms of really, really just attacking the rim. He doesn't try to take mid-range jumpers. He's hesitant to shoot the three, but again, he's going to try to attack first. That's his mindset, and he did a really good job in that game against Indiana, like I mentioned. And then, of course, he's just his defense is just all over the place, where he's creating havoc. He's forcing steals. He's helping out on defense. And then, of course, that gets him going on the break. I had just made a recent video where he had that 21 points, and a lot of those possessions were just him on the break, where the team creates some play on defense, and then Keldon Johnson just takes over in the open court and scores. What have you thought about Keldon and his opportunity here?
Yeah, he's been the one that's really jumped off the page for me, and I think for a lot of people are really excited about him. And I think they were, like, to start the season, but it was probably a little soon. And I think some of the time, you know, in Austin has helped him. And just getting, you know, that time with the staff and things like that, and actually now, you know, I guess all that time with the pandemic and working closer to the team and things like that has kind of helped him out, because he seems like, you know, like, definitely an improved player, and showing me more than, you know, I think I expected. I mean, he always seemed like a guy that had the potential to become a really good defense player, but he's making, like, so many good defense plays, and he's playing defense smart. Like, a lot of times rookies will come in and they'll jump at every, like, shot attempt, and he isn't really doing that. He's kind of, like, staying on his feet and just making sure that he's, you know, he's not allowing them to penetrate or you know, like, pump faking or anything like that. I like that. I mean, yeah, the whole the distribution kind of surprised me, because that's a part I didn't expect at all. You know, I think he had, like, 3 assists, and then just seeing him on the break and things like that has been cool. And then just the body control, and there's a lot to like there. I would say his first time, allow him to continue to develop and work and stuff like that, and don't try to rush him too much. But yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing so far, and I think it's, especially for his first time, it's a lot to be excited about.
For sure. And like I said, like, there's, like, a lot of opportunity for him with this lineup that he's playing with in the second unit, because, again, he's flanked by 3-point shooters. And aside from Rudy Gay, he's the only one who really has the potential to create out on that second unit. And I am interested to see, like, let's say that they get, you know, within 3 or 4 games, they get knocked out of the actual playoff picture, you know, officially eliminated. I do wonder if the coaching staff will start maybe running some half court plays for him, just to see what he can do with the ball, you know, running some pick and roll or becoming one of the main options. Cause they're not doing that for him yet. You know, he's everything he's creating right now is just more him, you know, just reading reading the game and making plays, like you mentioned, Mike, out on the break and stuff. So I am interested if, you know, down the line in these eight games, if they do give him some opportunity to actually become the real playmaker and see what he can do with that, you know, considering he is a young guy. And that's kind of one of those transitions we saw early on, to go back to Kawhi Leonard when he was a younger player. It took a very long time for the Spurs to eventually start giving him some plays and seeing what he can do on offense, as he started making that transition. Let's go to the second guy that's going to have a better opportunity, I think, off the bench to kind of revitalize his game and really just the team's going to depend on him a lot more, and that's Rudy Gay. You know, like I mentioned with it's just really him and Keldon who are the two creators off this bench unit, it looks like, right now. And Rudy's making the most of that, as we saw in this most recent game where he had 23 points and 5 assists. Like I mentioned, you know, he's the guy who can create from the post-ups, you know, if he needs to. He can take a player one-on-one and try to work there. And he's also been playing some small ball five, like, which is something we had talked about prior, that we were expecting that in some of these lineups he's going to have to be a small ball five. What do you think about Rudy and this kind of, like, fresh start for him in these eight seeding games?
You know, the thing about about players like Rudy is, because Rudy's, I think I tweeted at one time, it's going to be weird to see, it's crazy that Rudy's got 14 first half points and, like, we're still seeing the Rudy slander out there. But I try never to judge players based on, scoring too much, just because based on, obviously that it's either going to go in or out, right? That's a chance. And so I like to see what else they're doing on the floor, and just for to see him, and that he's able to both distribute and, play five. I mean, that gives them a lot of, again, like I talked about earlier, a lot of flexibility when they go to the bench, and especially, if they need to introduce some different lineups. It's nice to see that. I mean, looking at your own chart, he had 23 points, but then he ended up creating 34 total. And that was, especially off the bench with Keldon and some of those other guys, that was really good to see. So, he's definitely going to have more responsibility, and he's a vet. And so it'll be interesting to see how they continue to use him throughout the rest of these, seeding games. But, I liked what I saw. And I think, obviously he's a smart guy, and he's been in the league for so long, so he's going to, make the right plays and make the right decisions. So it's good to have him.
Yeah, for sure. So, we'll see how he handles that along with Keldon. Bryn Forbes didn't play in that third game, but he pretty much played the first two. So we do expect that's going to kind of be the rotation off the bench, which will be Keldon Johnson, Rudy Gay, Bryn Forbes, Marco Bellinelli's been playing a lot. And then also Drew Eubanks. Do you have any comments on Eubanks? I know that he's not really in our players to talk about, but he's been having some really good defensive plays at the rim.
Yeah, Drew surprised me, because I've always been one that's, I've always been kind of Drew's probably always going to be like a G League level player, but he's made some plays in the scrimmages that have really surprised me, and some blocks that I didn't expect. I mean, we saw that first, crazy dunk that he made. I mean, he's, out there, on a pogo stick all the time. So, I mean, he's just, he's got, a great motor, and so I like seeing that, because, I mean, he's always going to try to, make an impact on defense. So as long as he continues doing that, especially since they have some marks out and they have Lyles out, there's definitely an opportunity for him. And we really haven't seen, I cannot remember the name of the guy that they signed. And
so Tyler Zeller, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how much he's going to play. But yeah, Obviously they feel comfortable with Drew out there, so... I mean, that's been nice to see from him so far, and we'll see what he does with that opportunity.
Yeah, I really believe, until they get officially eliminated from the playoffs, this is going to be, their competitive group, these 10 guys that we've talked about. And it gives a good opportunity, like you mentioned, Drew Eubanks there. He's going to be a free agent this coming summer, I think a restricted free agent, if the Spurs tender him a call final. You got Bryn Forbes going to be an unrestricted free agent. You have Marco Bellinelli going to be a free agent. So, a lot of these guys do have, they want to put forth their best performance, especially if they're going to get the opportunity. I know one guy we haven't seen at all is Patty Mills. And, Pop made a quote about, him being like the Manu version of he's getting older, it takes a little bit more time for him to be ready. So I don't know just yet if they're going to play him in these eight seeding games, but we'll see. you know, what's going to happen with Patty Mills, because, you know, we forgot about him, and he will be a part of this rotation. So someone, one of these bench guys that we've talked about, they're going to lose some minutes if Patty starts playing as well. So we'll see what happens with Patty. But yeah, and then as far as some of the younger players down the line, like Chimezie Metu, Lucas Samanic, and then, like you mentioned, just an older vet and Tyler Zeller, we may see those guys if the team officially gets eliminated. Like I said, I think that once we know that they're actually out, that's when we might see some of them, even more development from these younger players on the roster, even like somebody like Quindary Weatherspoon. So, you know, we'll kind of watch it happens. And for now, I mean, like I said, they're trending. It's only two games, obviously. It can't be, you know, and they're only scrimmage games. But again, they were trending in the right direction as they were getting ready to head into these eight seeding games. So we'll just see what happens. And that's what Rudy Gay said, was that their goal right now is just to win every game that's in front of them. That's just what their goal is. You know, they're not looking at, you know, certain kind of record. So let's go to plug some things that we have a Project Spurs before we end this episode, Mike. If you go over to Project Spurs, I've been creating these videos called Created Points videos. So the latest ones are on Derek White and Keldon Johnson. If you want to check those out, I'll be doing those for different players throughout this restart for the eight seeding games. Steven Anderson's back to writing. He's covering every game that once the conclusion of the game, he has his recaps going. We also have the Spurs restart shot location box score. So if you want to follow along live during a game, I'm updating that. If you want to see some really cool shot location stats, and like Mike mentioned there, the assist data that comes with it. Rob Trejo Jr. is providing different film room videos. So his latest one is on Keldon Johnson's defense against the Nets. Make sure you check that out. Josh Paredes has his latest piece called Ranking Every International Spur Ever, again by Josh. So if you want to check that out. And then Benjamin Bornstein, last week he had released Redrafting the Spurs of the 2000s Part 1, his series. And then actually today on Wednesday, Part 2 went up as well. So again, there's a lot going on at Project Spurs. Our whole staff, you know, obviously the games are coming back, so you're going to be seeing a lot more on the site. So make sure you're keeping up with ProjectSpurs.com. Thanks again to Mike for joining me here on the Spurs Cast. Thanks also to Mike for producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.